Good afternoon, and welcome to yet another episode of Popping Off with Phil, the podcast. We're going to call today's episode Delayed But Not Denied because a nigga totally forgot that today was Tuesday. I don't have my headphones. It's lunchtime. It's 1 o'clock. I'm so sorry, co-host, but bear with me because we're going to make today work. So, like I said, this is not a, sorry, there are people passing my vehicle in the parking lot. This is not a pop culture, podcast. But I do want to talk about something that happened in pop culture this weekend because it speaks to a larger issue in the greater community, but also in our community, in terms of our treatment of women of color and how there is zero advocacy or agency for them in terms of having their backs. This past weekend was the U.S. Open. It was an exciting U.S. Open because there were two women of color. I don't even know how you say a Haitian Japanese American, I guess, in the person of Naomi Osaka, who ultimately won the U.S. Open, and of course Serena Williams, who was going after her 24th Grand Slam title, which would tie her with Margaret Court, who still holds the record of being the most the winningest, I don't know if that's the right word. She's won the most Grand Slams. I was gonna say winningest, but I don't know if that's right. Either way, ultimately what ends up happening is Serena loses, but there's controversy that ensues on the court because her coach is cited for coaching, which is not allowed, which garnered her a penalty. Then she broke a racket and she called the umpire a thief because he was stealing points for her, which ultimately she lost a point and then she lost a game. So it was second set, she's down one set, and I think the score was like 5-4. It might have been 4-4, but it ended up being 5-4. Like, I don't know the exact score. But the problem is that the commentary that came from her expressing her frustration, because not just black women, but black people in general just do not have the luxury to express any emotion outwardly other than sheer joy and happiness. Any frustration or irritation or aggravation is normally thrown into or thrusted into the category of being aggressive, of being violent, being full of rage, and for black women more commonly than black men, being hysterical. And I guess it concerns me that not only was this the criticism of other people, but particularly black people, particularly black men, who found her questioning a call, her expressing her emotion, her frustration of being literally called a cheater, her reaction was hysterical. And though the overall event did tarnish a moment, and it wasn't a great moment for Naomi Osaka, who has looked up to Serena and, you know, has played her before and has beat her before. So it's not as if, you know, this girl is not talented or capable. But that her first Grand Slam was marred by this situation, and everybody wants to thrust and throw the blame on Serena, saying that she is, you know, she throws temper tantrums and she's a sore loser, which I know that she's a sore loser. You know, I am in no way a Serena apologist. Yes, I am a Serena fan. Yes, Venus and Serena, before Serena, Venus was the reason why I watched tennis in the first place, because it's something that I began watching with, like, my aunt. My aunt, we would get up Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings and watch the tennis matches. And just like golf, most folks weren't watching golf until Tiger Woods. Most people of color weren't watching golf until Tiger Woods became a thing. You know, there are people who are on it. I mean, my grandfather has always been a golfer. My father has always been a golfer. But Tiger Woods being a professional, turning pro, did something. And it definitely garnered more attention. And the same is true for tennis. Now, because I actively play tennis now, I do follow other tennis players. I do watch other games. I don't only watch Venus and Serena, and I don't only pull for Venus and Serena. I watch male and female. I watch doubles. I watch mixed doubles. You know, I enjoy the game as a whole, but I just find it odd that so many persons of color, particularly black men, are like, you know, she was out of order, and you know, she has to take ownership of some of the blame of what happened. And you find that often in our society, in our community, that black women just don't have any agency. They don't have any support from brothers, from people who look like them. And I really think that's something that we should address. And it's interesting because we literally are in the same boat. Angry black woman is the same as aggressive, rage-filled black man. And for us not to empathize and sympathize with that plight is odd. But of course, we also live in a world where African-American people, persons of color, are part of a disenfranchised group, and they don't see the parallels between members of the LGBTQIA+ community, who are also members of a disenfranchised group. They're also members of a group who are oppressed, and things that they are entitled to as people, other entities want to take away from them, and there's no support from people who can definitely empathize and sympathize with that situation looking to support them. So I just think it's something that we should talk about. I think it's something that we really should look into, because black women do feel left out. They're the minority of minorities, because at the end of the day, a black man in a lot of situations still has male privilege. Black women don't even have that. So they're women, and then they're black, and then they can't speak out or up or out for themselves without, you know, dealing with that whole angry black woman syndrome. You know, if a black woman says that she is, you know, that she's in a position where she's single, and you know, it's not that she doesn't want or need a man, it's that she refuses to settle for BS, which is well within her right, but yet she's thrusted in this category of being, you know, overly independent and picky. And I just think that we really need to look at that particular scenario and find ways to support our sisters, because they need our support. What else did I want to talk about? You know, because I didn't do this when I was supposed to, I'm trying to do a million things too. Like, you're on my errand tour. Like, I'm depositing money in the bank. I gotta go pick up lunch. There's a lot going on. So thank you for tuning in and being supportive. I really appreciate it. We should really talk. We should really find ways to connect and support each other. You know, it's not lost on me that someone once said, and I don't know who said this, that we are more alike than we are different. You know, a lot of our struggles are similar. They are, and a lot of them are the same. And we spend so much time trying to nitpick at what's different that we don't always see that a lot of the struggles that we have definitely embody the same the same core, the same essence, you know, it's discrimination. And for us not to be able to look at that situation and not clearly call out sexism and misogyny and discrimination and racism is ridiculous. For us not to be able to clearly define that and try to what a college professor of mine used to say, major in the minors, and talk about her reaction. You know, we always want to talk about the reaction or how someone reacts to a particular situation, but we never want to have a conversation about what forced that reaction. You know, how many times has a person been calm? How many times has a person walked away from a situation? How many times has a person not said something about poor treatment until they got to the point where they reached a breaking point and then they said it all in a mouthful, and now it's a situation where you're automatically aggressive? I mean, I tell people all the time that when you work in an environment that's predominantly white, which is the environment that I work in, and a lot of my friends who work in corporate, you know, we are limited in how we can react because I'm a black man, and as a black man, automatically emotion is turned into aggression, automatically is turned into rage, automatically someone feels threatened. So, you know, there are situations where I literally want to be like, bitch, get a grip, but I can't say that, you know what I'm saying? I have to find some other way to be politically correct without somebody immediately pulling out their handkerchief to dry up their white woman tears, which is something that I deal with on a regular basis because I'm in that environment. And now we in a world where white women ain't the only people crying. White men crying too. So it's like, I can't win. I don't understand how somebody with so much privilege could ever find anything to whine, cry, or complain about. But they are that way. And you see that, like, a lot of male tennis stars, a lot of white male tennis stars have come out and said, I've said much worse. I've done much worse. You know, I've watched videos where this guy literally broke every racket in his bag. Yeah, he may have got a penalty in terms of a fine for unsportsmanlike conduct, but he didn't get a point penalty. And I'm not saying that she would have won. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying what's fair is fair. And a lot of times our sisters are discounted in various aspects of their lives. Their work is questioned, their attitude towards things are questioned, and then we always want to lump it on female emotion. Oh, she's postpartum. Her kids almost won. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm pretty sure she dealt with postpartum, and I'm not saying that I don't know the time span of postpartum. I mean, it's a form of depression, so I'm not just saying that, oh, because her kid is one, she's over it, but I'm sure, I know that's something she dealt with, and guilt and different things like that. And I think she's been very open and honest about those emotions and what she needed to do to get back on track. So to just be like, oh, she's emotional because she just had a baby, get out of here, you know? And it's even worse. We were having this conversation on the bus ride back from a performance this weekend, and I was in a space where I was with different generations. And I do realize that some black folk are apologists. They grew up in a world where, in order to mitigate conflict with our white brothers and sisters, they go out of their way to make sure that they're comfortable. You know, oh, excuse me when you're not in the way. I refuse to say excuse me to someone who is walking down the middle of the fucking road when I'm walking on one side and they bump me. Like, I'm not in the wrong. You are. But I think that the problem is that we've gotten so accustomed to apologizing and making amends and trying to make other people comfortable that there's an expectation. You know, there are white people who expect you to apologize even when you're not wrong. They expect you to respond to them in a way that they feel is respectful. And the bottom line is, respect is something earned. I don't automatically owe anybody any just due. Especially someone who's a colleague or a contemporary, you know what I'm saying? But you'll see situations where, you know, you'll say something and somebody will say something in response, and you'll respond to that, and somebody will ask you a question like, well, who do you think you're talking to? You see it in videos all the time. Who do you think you're talking to? you don't have a right to do this, you don't have a right to do this, you don't have, I'm grown, ma'am and or sir. I have a right to a lot of things, and I definitely have a right to voice my opinion. And we have the ability, and I have the ability to agree to disagree with you, and I should be able to agree with you or disagree with you openly, or really disagree with you openly, without you feeling as if I am challenging some inherent respectability. We really need to do better. I don't want to, you know, belabor the hour. I really didn't have anything prepared today. Obviously, I totally forgot that today was Tuesday. But I do appreciate you guys for sticking with me. I'm trying to be as consistent as possible because consistency is key. Every day, not every day, but every week, someone listens to the podcast or has listened to the podcast and is like, hey, I really like it. I really enjoy it. So I know that I'm on the right track. I know that I'm helping people, which was what my goal was. So continue to listen, continue to subscribe, continue to share. Trust me, if there's a platform out there for podcast, Anchor FM has figured it out and we're on it. So not just for me, but any of my other Anchor FM family who happens to use this platform, whether it's Apple, whether it's a Droid, whether you have some other staple place that you listen to podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, we're out there. So just look for me, Popping Off With Phil, the podcast. Love you guys. Have a beautiful, beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Peace.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.